The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. During the Advent, our weary souls seek God's daily strength. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We grow weary when fear overshadows faith. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We grow weary when destructive actions erupt in the world around us. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. For all of us feeling weary this Advent season, grant that we might have the peace of the Christ as we wait, the love of Christ as we act, and the grace of Christ as we speak. Today we light two candles. The first candle illuminates patience in the areas of our lives where God has called us to wait. The second candle extends the promise of strength to all who feel weary and weak in the shadows of this world. As we continue our Advent journey, may our hope be kindled as the light grows brighter. God of mercy and compassion, Scripture says that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. In a shadowy world where human weakness and weariness reside, we ask for you to draw near and dispel the darkness around us. May the light of this season illuminate our hope, strength, and steadfast endurance as we await the coming Savior. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy, for that beautiful prelude as we settle our hearts on the second Sunday of Advent. Will you please pray with me? Holy God, we long for your peace and trust in your promise. We hear your call to turn toward you, to change our lives and welcome you in. Meet us here and fill our minds with your wisdom and our hearts with your peace, that our worship together may open us to the challenge of your dream of wholeness for all. In the name of the one who is coming, we pray. Amen. Now let us stand as we are able to sing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus on page 2 in our hymnal. Brothers and sisters, let us remain standing as we confess our sin, trusting in God's love for us. Refining God, you have sent us prophets, and we have not listened. We have not always determined what is best or made way for your reign in our lives, our church, our society. Forgive us, we pray, and renew your covenant within us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Jesus, Savior from sin, is present with us, helping us prepare for the reign of God, forgiving our weaknesses, rebuilding our relationships, restoring our joy, and it will bring it to completion. Let us celebrate this great grace by offering one another a sign of Christ's peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please share Christ's peace with one another with a wave or a nod. Let us pray. Holy One, by the light of your prophets and through your Holy Spirit, instruct us, illuminate us, open our ears so we may hear your call to become your path into the world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The scripture today comes from Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. And it can be found on page 889 in the New Testament. The coming messenger. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years.
Thank you. Kathy. There are several people here under age 13. And I'm wondering if they'd want to join me on the steps. You want to come up? Come on down. And thank you for coming up. I know it takes a little courage sometimes to come forward in a room full of people you don't know. But you did, and you did well. So thank you. Our story today, as we prepare ourselves for Christmas and to meet Jesus in our lives, continues with the beginning of chapter 3 in Luke's gospel. I'm calling it St. John the Baptist part 1 because we're going to hear another part, what follows this segment, next week. So this is part 1 of John the Baptist. Listen now for God's word to God's people from the New Revised Standard Version. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, was ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, as you all know, I've recently moved to an old house in New Concord. And it's a great house, and I love it. The place has absolutely wonderful bones, and it's structurally sound. But there were some rooms that needed to be reworked. And I want to finish that work, plus paint and polish some little things here and there, before I have you all over. You see, it's important that the place is organized and clean, artwork hung, and moving boxes unpacked or at least hidden away until much later. And that's just the beginning of all the preparations that I need to make so that when you do come visit me, you can feel comfortable and welcomed. And since these details will take me some time, let's face it, it's Advent and then it's Christmas and New Year's. Those things are slowing me down. I'm thinking that I'll have some kind of event, probably around Mardi Gras. We'll do some gumbo and grits and king cake. It'll be quite a feast. Y'all come, okay? Y'all come. Now, being ready for such an event means a great deal of work, but it's okay. I care about you, and I want to share this new house with you. And I especially want to honor your visit in the best way possible. Anyway, about this reading. When we think of John the Baptist in our heads, we wonder what on earth overcame him so powerfully. Just think about it. He's let his beard go wild, and he marches around the desert in some kind of garment made out of camel hair. And he yells, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Oh my. John was the son of a priest. A priest. And in the hierarchy of the Hebraic religion, priests were pretty high on the social ladder. But instead of taking up his father's way of life as most young men did, John became a prophet. A prophet who is inviting all who hear him to receive a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He wants his listeners to turn themselves around from whatever they're doing and return to the life that God asks of them, intends for them, even offers to them. John is inviting those who hear his voice to prepare themselves and the world around them for God's arrival on earth. But why was John shouting out this invitation in the desert? The desert, the wilderness, is a pretty empty place. Yeah, you'll see shrubs and dry washes and desert willows. And resting in the shade, you may see a desert tortoise or a coyote. And a few birds may flit past a tiny lizard sunning itself on a rock. But people are few and far between in the wilderness. Such arid and empty places are really very inhospitable to human life. And yet, it seems people looked for John and found him out there. Do you ever wonder if the great leaders of the era, the ones that were named at the beginning of this reading, Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, one of the Herods, ever wanted to hear what this prophet had to say? There's no record of any of them standing amidst whomever else was listening to this unusual-looking prophet. Yeah, John was imprisoned by one of the Herods, and apparently that ruler was intrigued by John's words. But did any of them venture out to hear him in the wilderness? I don't know. If the high and mighty left the safety of their palaces, they'd probably stay on the main roads, wouldn't they? Venturing off-road is dangerous and would provoke inner turmoil. The wilderness is too wide open. Nothing is certain out there. It would be difficult to exhibit the assured authority over all life amidst such unknowns that is would be required of a leader. For them, preparing the way of the Lord might have felt akin to preparing for their own overthrow. So staying away from the desert prophets was pretty much a good thing to stay safe and in control of your world. I suppose even the priests and the prophets and the Sadducees would have also stayed home. They had little to gain from being baptized. They believed that their burnt offerings would pay for any wrongs they'd committed against the Jewish laws. So who would have come out here to listen or to be baptized? Well, certainly those who avidly and actively sought the Messiah, and probably ordinary folks who just wanted to find out if what John was talking about really applied to them. I wonder how they felt when they heard the prophet's request to prepare the way of the Lord. Imagine that. John's listeners were to prepare the roadway so the Messiah could come to his temple. Wow. But John wasn't simply talking about making sure that the engineering was calculated so the roads through the wilderness could be cleared and made less challenging to travel. John was asking his listeners to do some work on the interior of their lives so they could meet God with honor and dignity. They were to rework themselves, reconstruct themselves around God's truth before facing their Creator. The concept was not new. It is actually said that John was the last of a long line of Hebrew prophets who encouraged God's children to turn away from any unsavory lifestyles they may have engaged and follow God's ways instead. John is quoting Isaiah 40, after all. You know, "Comfort, comfort, O my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Isaiah spoke those words to people who were preparing to return to the land of milk and honey after 70 long years in Babylonian exile. God had watched as the people had suffered captivity. God knew they had shed their old life ways during that time and were ready to follow God's word again. God knew that they were prepared to live as God's family once more. And did you hear the words that Maggie read from Malachi today? That prophet told the same people that God had used refiner's fire and fuller's soap to purify God's people so they would be prepared to turn back to their Creator. These ancient prophets echo one another as they call for their people to come home to God. And each of them made it clear that facing God decently would require preparation. So, silver in rings and necklaces is really a beautiful metal. I love the subtle sheen on this ring that you often see on other pieces of silver. It positively glows in the light. But getting to that sheen is a painstaking, highly detailed process. First, the metal has to be removed from the rock that encases it. And that is usually done by shoveling boulders into a giant furnace and heating it until the exterior either explodes off or melts away. Can you imagine that? Burning rock takes one hot fire. And after the flames are put out, the silver is recovered and sent off to a refinery, another place. And there a person painstakingly stokes another flame, which melts the metal down so the impurities can be removed. Again, it's a hot flame, which makes it a very uncomfortable job for the person doing the work. And if for some reason that refiner takes his or her eyes off the metal during the process, the silver can overheat and be ruined. Yet Malachi suggests that God is refining the Hebrew people so their impurities can be removed and they can return to their God bearing a clean, beautiful sheen. You know, it sounds as though John's inviting his listeners to prepare the way of the Lord, prepare their hearts. But the earlier prophets are telling everyone God is involved, very involved in preparing God's people for that same return. Could it be that the people and their God both have roles in the refinement process? Could it be people need to work with God to clear away the dross and the rocks that block the paths back to the Lord? If we'd read the Common English Bible, we would have heard verse 3 of our reading said this way. It's pretty interesting. Listen now. John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. It seems clear that those who heard this message were to prepare themselves for God. They were to participate in a relational way with God that would refine their lives. And they were to be baptized, washed with Fuller's soap, which we would call launderer's soaps, so they would show that they were changing their ways, that they wanted God to take them back into the fold. But those who heard his message were those who ventured out into the uncertainty of the desert in which John was yelling, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Kind of feels as though the leaders weren't going to be part of this preparation process. That doesn't feel very good. The idea that those who don't prepare are shut out from God? The question leaves us with a lot of uncertainty about ourselves. Now, we only know what the author of the text has chosen to include in his story. It may be that some of the leaders actually did hear John's call. Some may have actively prepared, but then too, the last line of our reading says that when all the preparations have been made, every valley filled and all roads made straight and smooth, then all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, that could mean God works extra hard with the unprepared to refine them and refresh them for salvation. Or maybe not. I don't know. Uncertainty is so uncomfortable. But here's a thought. Through prophets like Isaiah, Malachi, and yes, John, God has called us, all of us here, to turn back to God's side, to prepare our hearts and our minds so we can live with God in the kingdom. Given the choice of how I might get to that kingdom, preparation, no preparation, I'd rather honor God's presence in my life by preparing. Yes, it's work, but you know, I'd rather. What about you? What about you? Which choice will you make? Remember, once in the kingdom, a feast will be set. A feast. Along with people from north and south and east and west who have come to sit together at table with our Creator. A feast, a party. And what an incredible time that will be. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare your hearts for God. Amen.
Please join me in hymn number 3, Comfort, Comfort You, My People. hearts bowed beneath oppression's load. Speak you to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell them that their sins I cover, and their warfare now is over. For the herald's voice is calling in the desert far and near, bidding us to make repentance, since the kingdom now is here. Oh, that warning cry obey. Now prepare for God away. Let the valleys rise in meeting, and the hills bow down in greeting. Make you straight what long was crooked. Make the rougher places plain. Let your hearts be true and humble, as befits God's holy reign. For the glory of the Lord, now our earth is shed abroad, and all flesh shall see the token that God's word is never broken.
Please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed. It can be found on page 14 in your hymn book. Let us say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to let you know that we will receive the bread and the juice immediately after the Lord's Prayer today. The words of institution are part of our prayer of thanksgiving, so we will not break until after the Lord's Prayer. Okay? My friends, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is the joyful feast of the people of God. It is laid out not on a Presbyterian table or on your Christmas banquet table, but on Christ's table. And to this table, the faithful of the world are welcome from north and south and east and west, and all will sit together at table in the kingdom of God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. How can we thank you, O God, for sun and moon and stars, for breath and life and all things good, for your steadfast promise and your faithful love, for the day that is surely coming when all things will be made new. With saints, with angels, and with the whole creation, we join the internal hymn saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give you thanks, O holy God, for Jesus, who came to be your living word, to baptize us with spirit and fire, to feed the hungry, to humble the mighty, and to announce the good news of your coming realm. With thanksgiving, we remember how, when the hour had come, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take and eat. And whenever you do so, remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, This cup is the new covenant shed for you. My blood is for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink of it, and when you do, remember me. Remember me whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, until I come again. Let us continue in prayer. With thanks and praise, we offer ourselves to you, sharing this holy meal, remembering Christ dying and rising and praying, Come, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, this bread, this cup, these people, Christ's body and blood given in love for the world. Make us one in the Spirit, one in the church, and one with Christ our Lord. Make us gentle, joyful, thankful people serving our neighbors and worshiping you alone. Keep us in the peace of Christ until you gather us at your table in glory. For even now, a voice is crying out in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Yet, O God, you are the God of light and hope and peace. And we praise you for the gift of life itself, especially for the gift of being connected to you as your children and to one another as family here at Trinity United Presbyterian Church. For it is in being in relationship with one another that your love is most clearly witnessed, not just by our own eyes, but in the eyes and hearts of people who live beyond these four walls. We thank you, too, for the gift of prayer. For through prayer, you teach us how to hold one another in our hearts and show us pathways, cleared pathways, into your light of hope. Hear us now as we lift up to you the prayers of our hearts this day. We pray for your church, the body of Christ on earth. Help us to remember that as Presbyterian and Reformed people, we are connected not just to each other, but to the churches in this region like Deerfield and Frazeesburg and Putnam, as well as our friends over at First Christian. And help all of us, Reformed together, be your good and faithful servants. In this season of hope and peace, we pray for refugees and for travelers far from home. We ask that you guide them to safety and rest at the end of long, arduous days. We pray for those who are in prison, be it the prison of their hearts or bricks and mortars of society. For such walls disconnect us from loving care by families and friends. We pray for all who sit in life's darkness, isolated by the shadows of confused thought or anger or even hatred. We pray for the 15-year-old in Michigan whose darkness led him to kill others. And we pray for their families as they grieve. Oh, Lord, help. We pray for those who suffer in sorrow and affliction. We pray for the hungry, the ill, for those who are facing death. We lift up to you especially today Liz Grimm, whose shoulder has sent her to the hospital, and Dave Foster, who went there with a massive cough this morning. Be with them and with their medical teams who seek to restore their bodies to health. Oh, gracious God, this is our prayer, that your love will overflow more and more in our lives, in your church, and in all the world, until all may know the compassion of our Lord. And through these ways, may we become the peacemakers of your world. We pray all this through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, who in the unity of the Holy Spirit brings all glory and honor to you. And let us join now our hearts and voices together as we pray aloud the words that our Lord taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Take, eat, and drink, all of you. Let us pray. O holy Creator, bread of life, cup of salvation, Spirit divine, your light shines in the night, and the night will not overcome it. In this meal, we have been strengthened, and the light of your love has been rekindled within our hearts. We thank you for renewing us for our service to your purpose, and reviving the glow of your light within us. Now send us out to boldly carry your light into this, your world. Amen.
Please join me in hymn number 13. Prepare the way, O Zion. Your Christ is drawing near. Let every hill and valley a level way appear. Greet one who comes in glory, foretold in sacred story. Oh, blessed is Christ that came in God's most holy name. Christ brings God's rule, O Zion. He comes from heaven above. His rule is peace and freedom, and justice, truth, and love. Lift high your praise resounding, for grace and joy abounding. Oh, blessed is Christ that came in God's most holy name. Fling wide your gates, O Zion, your Savior's rule embrace, and tidings of salvation proclaim in every place. All lands will bow rejoicing, their adoration voicing. Oh, blessed is Christ that came in God's most holy name.
Prepare the way, O Zion. Prepare your hearts. Share in that relationship with the Holy One who desires you to come home, who will perhaps not refine you with flame, perhaps simply wash you clean with soap and the water of baptism. But prepare your hearts. Prepare them together, prepare them on your own. Prepare them so that when you go out into the world, your heart can shine forth with the love of God. For that is God's hope. Go out in peace to love and serve the Lord, knowing that God's love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws them together and draws us into their dance, the community that is the Holy Spirit, goes with each and every one of you, now and always. Amen and amen.
Grandchild, old child, memory full of years, sad child, child, story told in tears. This year, let the day arrive when Christmas comes for everyone, everyone.
Does your daughter come home from school?
I know she gets home.